This is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio. A couple of homeschooling dads as we attempt to be men of Issachar. That is, men who understand the times as described in Scripture. And we understand the times by the truth of God's Word. God's truth is a light to our path. We don't have to walk in confusion because God's Word enables us to understand and to interpret the things that go on. Well, as we look at politics and we read the front page of the newspaper these days, it's pretty hard to avoid what's happening in the major media. And we discover that the hypocritical liberals and conservatives, the preachy little do-gooders, are telling Senator Al Franken he needs to resign because he pinched portions of women's gluteus maximuses. Is that how you say it, Steve?
It might be maximi.
Maximi, maximuses, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But no, I'm not disagreeing with that. In fact, I agree. I agree that Al Franken needs to resign as senator for the United States of America because he is out there pinching portions of women's gluteus maximuses. And that, my friends, is wrong. That's just plain rude, unloving, and lustful. It violates the laws of God. And for this reason, Senator Al Franken needs to resign. And to be consistent, we're calling for every senator to resign who has committed adultery and homosexual crimes, you know, death penalty type crimes, and every senator that has committed fornication and every senator that has a porn habit and every senator that had sexual contact outside of the bounds of marriage in his lifetime, they should resign.
That would cause a massive amount of special elections.
That's 95% of Americans confess to having committed fornication,
yeah,
sexual sin on their wedding day, which, my friends, is just as evil as whatever people are saying Al Franken did. It just I think people aren't considering God's laws. They don't think God's laws. They think man's laws. So they're always judging right and wrong, good and evil, by the standard of whatever Huffington Post says it is. And who is Huffington Post? Excuse me. Who is Huffington Post? Is Huffington Post a god that shall determine what is right and wrong when it comes to issues relating to sexuality? Hello, hello, hello. No. God's law determines this. I'm so tired of Christian news media outlets not using the book of Deuteronomy, especially the terms where a rape is established by the woman crying out. She cries out in the country. She cries out in the city. And if she's not crying out for 38 years for crying out loud, she's not crying out. You delay a crying out for 38 years, my friends. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night, okay? Get real. The crying out is determined by whether she cried out on or around the time that she participated in the sexual activity. Hello, hello, hello. Obviously, Christians aren't interested in God's law for the most part, and that's why they're not bringing God's law to bear. They're much, much more given to the sexual standards of Huffington Post than they are by the sexual standards of God's word or God's law. Sad, 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 really, really sad. These American do-gooder Pharisees love to strain at gnats and swallow camels. But then we have the Weinstein ripple effect. NBC News has covered this. They've counted 23 major stars and political figures who've received allegations relating to sexual harassment or assault just since Harvey did this face splat with, what was it, 75 allegations? I think I lost count.
Yeah, there is a lot.
Yeah. So the Weinstein ripple effect has happened. And, you know, Steve, there's something glorious about this because nobody really gets away with anything in God's world because there is a God in the heavens. And Jesus said this: nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. Praise God. Praise God. He is in the heavens. The judge is on his throne. And these people like Harvey and good old Al Franken, they think they can get away with it. you know, pinching a woman's behind in the picture where nobody can see what's going on. George H.W. Bush also is being accused of the same thing. They think they can get away with it.
Yeah, but
they can't. They can't. It will all come to light. And, you know, you can confess it now, or you can be accused of it and convicted of it later and then go to hell, which is not good. So it's better to just say, you know what? That was me and I was wrong and I sinned against humans, this woman, and I sinned against heaven when I did this. And you can call out for God's forgiveness.
Yeah, just like David did. And one of the other things that you're talking about is God is judge and that, you know, this seems to be a righteous thing. What reminds me of is another passage that says judgment begins with the house of God. And it's interesting that Hollywood and politics and all of that has come at this time because, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were talking about people who were high profile church people who were being accused and convicted of the same things, and they their fall.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
judgment begins with the house of God, but it ends with everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I think of Ted Haggard. I think of Tullian Tavidjian. I think of the guy from Vision Forum.
Yeah.
I think of, you know, all these stories. And there were 20 of them.
Yeah.
30, 40. I can't count how many came forward in just the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was a significant number. And now it seems as though Hollywood and politics is falling at even a faster rate.
Well, my friends, judgment begins in the household of God, as Steve just mentioned. And that certainly brings us to a position of humility before him. We need to confess our sins, be transparent, walk in the light as he is in the light. And Jesus requires this. And friends, Jesus is not going to let these things slip forever. He won't let it slip in his church. Judgment begins in the household of God first. And then what will happen to those who think they can get away with anything in Hollywood and politics? And friends, we're already seeing the dominoes fall on these big men in American culture and politics. Praise God. He is in the heavens. He will bring about complete justice, absolute holiness, righteousness, and judgment in time and eternity. Certainly at the final judgment, he will bring every single act into account on the day of judgment. Friends, the mills of God grind slowly, but very fine, because God is the absolute standard of justice. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. As we update you on what is going on in the news, Charles Manson went to meet his maker. And Geraldo Rivera did an op-ed on Charles Manson, Steve. And it's interesting how he waxed so pietistic and biblical and preachy with us on this. When it comes to Manson, Geraldo Rivera can get preachy and pietistic, but not so much when it comes to abortionists. You see the difference there. He basically said, go be with your friend, the devil, Chuck, in his op-ed for Fox News. Also, another New York Post article was headlined, Charles Manson is rotting in hell. So apparently the media believes in hell and believes in the devil now. So it's interesting how suddenly they become very preachy and prophetic. And they grab on to biblical themes when it comes to Charles Manson. But this hypocrisy is obvious about them, isn't it?
Yeah, they are the ones, again, that choose what they believe is right and wrong. And then they condemn people for committing crimes against the things that they determine is the law. Sometimes it happens to be biblical. Most of the time, not. But, you know, this at least they're consistent here, but they're very inconsistent biblically.
Well, there's a couple of takes on this. Charles Manson is probably the most infamous American over the last generation since the 1960s. Jeffrey Dahmer might be a close second, but Charles Manson, known for his violence, for his murder, for his demonic approach, and Americans understand something of evil still. It's interesting that they don't equate this kind of evil to what Warren Hearn is doing up in Boulder, Colorado, as he continues his longer term, second term, third term abortions. He is the butcher from Boulder and yet continued to be supported by the mainstream media big time. And so as these butchers are busy slaughtering tens of thousands of little children, perhaps hundreds of thousands of little children over a career of 30, 40 years. Guys like Charles Manson, who is found guilty of 7 murders, is the only wicked man that anybody can think about. He is the essence of that which is evil, according to the mainstream media. I guess there still has to be something that is evil in the minds of the media, but of course they don't maintain the definition of what is right and wrong, good and evil, from the perspective of God's law. In other words, evil is determined by how or who is killed, not by whether God's law has been offended.
Yeah, and it seems as though the media and politics make up that law as to who's valuable and, yeah, and what whose life is worth something. And apparently Manson's life was not. And, you know, but the people he killed were worth something, but the people who are killing the babies, they're to be praised.
Yeah. Well, Manson was found guilty of 7 murders, was not put to death. Now, the word of God is clear on this, absolutely clear. The purpose for the civil magistrate, one purpose, one major purpose for the civil magistrate, and that is to put to death the murderer. Genesis 9:6. If the civil magistrate is not doing this, then the civil magistrate gets an F minus. The civil magistrate in America, for the most part, gets an F minus. It does almost everything it's not supposed to do. And the one thing that the civil magistrate is supposed to do, it won't do. So that is a nation that is in an absolute revolt against the true and living God. They're not going to take their jurisdictional authority from the laws of God. They're going to determine it on their own. And that, my friends, is autonomy. And that's what describes and defines perfectly the wickedness of this nation. The California Supreme Court ruled the death penalty for murder unconstitutional in 1972, despite the fact that Charles Manson and his friends killed 7 people in 1969. So in 1972, the California Supreme Court ruled the death penalty for murder unconstitutional.
Yeah, and all the people that were convicted and sentenced to death in 1971, and it was less than a year later that was ruled unconstitutional, and so Manson lived until just a few days ago.
There's no indication that Charles Manson repented of his sins. In fact, in his last interview, he said that humans could live their own lives and determine their own dreams. And basically went on with a lot of other incoherent things to say. But at the end of the day, we don't see that Charles Manson repented of his sins at all. And so we have to conclude Revelation 20, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, idolaters, all liars, Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And this, my friends, is where the Charles Mansons of the world will go, as well as the Geraldo Riveras, if they will not repent of their sins and worship and serve the true and living God and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will be part of this lake that burns with fire and sulfur. And that, my friends, is the true word of God. That's not just Geraldo Rivera waxing pietistic and preachy when it comes to Charles Manson. All right. Well, there are pieces of redemption in these stories as well. As man gives way to tyranny, as man breaks God's laws at multiple levels, as Charles Manson breaks God's law, as well as the California Supreme Court, as almost everybody in America breaks God's laws, and as this nation apostatizes, it turns out there are pieces of redemption in these stories. Jesus really does show up. It's interesting, Brother Oon tells a story of a terrible murderer and rapist who gets saved in his prison cell. It's one of the most touching stories in Brother Oon's biography. It's a beautiful story, and we have multiple stories like this. In fact, Jeffrey Dahmer made some profession of faith. Now, again, it's hard to know for sure, especially since the profession of faith occurred not 2-3 months before he was killed. So it's hard to know the genuineness of some of this, but I interviewed the pastor that baptized Jeffrey Dahmer on this radio program. So friends, just be aware, please be aware that Jesus shows up, the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. I tell the story in my new American history textbook coming out in just a few months. But the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, Nathan Bedford Forrest, also towards the end of his life, lived a very rough life. There's no question. He was an unbeliever. But towards the end of his life, just a year or two or three before he died, he was in a bank somewhere in Tennessee, and a friend of his had become a Christian and witnessed to him in the bank, and together they got down on their knees, and he cried out for mercy upon his soul right there in the lobby of that bank. And about a year later, just shortly before he died, he spoke at one of the first NAACP meetings, the colored people,
yeah,
you know, meeting, association meeting, and he offered a message of repentance to these folks, and at the end, a little black girl offered him a flower and he kissed her on the forehead, which in my mind represented a measure of repentance from the hatred and from the malice and from the ungodly behavior that he manifested throughout part of his life, a good part of his life.
Yeah. And even within this, within the Manson family, there was a young man at the time, Charles Tex Watson, who in 1975 made a profession of faith and began a ministry shortly thereafter. He's still alive,
yes,
and still in prison and has Abounding Love Ministry and is ministering to many prisoners.
And he has a 40-year track record,
yes,
since his initial repentance and profession of faith. And that, I think, also speaks for the amazing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, granted, the humanists don't understand this. They hardly ever report on it because they cannot comprehend the fact that Jesus can walk into a maximum security prison and save the very worst of sinners. They can't even imagine that level of mercy and forgiveness poured out by a totally holy, righteous, and just God who is 10 billion times more holy and just and righteous than Geraldo Rivera and all of his pietistic speaking. Yes, the true and living God is willing to redeem the worst of sinners, and he does so even in maximum security prisons with men like Charles Tex Watson. Now, Charles Tex Watson was raised in a Christian home. He attended a youth group, et cetera, rebelled against his parents, and he was introduced by Charles Manson by Beach Boy Dennis Wilson. Evidently, what happened was Charles Tex Watson was driving down the freeway and picked up Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys, who was hitchhiking, and it was Dennis Wilson that introduced him to Charles Manson.
Yeah, apparently when he picked him up, drove him home, found out that he was a Beach Boy. I think he's the drummer. Took him into his house, met another guy named Dean Whitmore or something like that, who they all eventually sat down and met Charles Manson, who had already begun the Manson family. They sat down, did a lot of drugs together, and through all of that, Charles Tex Watson then became part of the family and ended up being what Manson would have called his right-hand man.
Yeah, and he participated in the murders, no question. Charles Tex Watson participated in the murders in 1969. So he is guilty of murder, and the state has a right and a responsibility to put him to death. And I think he needs to acknowledge that. I don't know if he does or not, but it's interesting. He's got a pretty extensive testimony on his website. Really interesting stuff, my friends. Really interesting, because he confesses his sins on the website, the sins which led to the murder. And this is important for a lot of kids that are raised in Christian homes. There are so many Christian children raised in Christian homes that actually are not truly Christian, not truly believers, and yet they are accountable to God for their rebellion against God and their rebellion against their parents and all of the awful things they do in their lives. And so here is a warning, I think, to a lot of Christian kids. I'm talking about Christian homeschooling kids often who rebel against their parents and do some of the most horrendous things, commit some of the most wicked crimes you could ever imagine. Friends, this happens out of Christian homes, out of Christian homeschools. But here is the example of Charles Tex Watson, who confesses on his website the first sin that led to the murders. And here it is, the first sin that led to the murders from the mouth of Charles Watson. Here it is, disobedience to parents. It's the very beginning. He said, that was it. That was the sin that set me on the track to the bloody murders that occurred in 1969 in California in the helter-skelter murders of the Manson family. Charles Tex Watson says the first sin that led to the murders was disobedience to parents. His parents told him not to move to California.
Yeah, and he said, I'm 21, I'm going.
Yeah.
And he left them weeping and said he left them basically to be, left them in the arms of his siblings. But he said, I'm heading out.
Yeah. He says, I chucked all accountability with my parents and I broke their hearts. And then he said, I was unable to control my thoughts and feelings. I was never connected to God. And he said, the deadly sins of pride, greed, lust, envy, fear, anger, laziness, they were free to rule over me. And then he said, I made one compulsive choice after another. I drank my first beer at 14. I had sex out of wedlock at 16. I made foolish choice after foolish choice after foolish choice at college. I chose to run with the wrong crowd. I joined a fraternity and I chose to fornicate. I had a choice between life or death. And then he says, I chose death. He says, I sought significance and approval from the Manson gang instead of finding my significance with God. Now, he's very honest and straightforward in this entire testimony, isn't he, Steve?
Yeah, and he was saying that he felt loved by Manson and his family, and he said he should have felt loved by his parents. He knew that his parents and his siblings loved him, but he said at that time that didn't count. It just wasn't, they had to. And he looks back and says he should have just accepted that because that was the most important thing.
These are severe warnings to children raised in Christian homes and Christian homeschools. My friends, we need to pay attention to these things. God will hold us to account for these things. Now, of course, eventually, thankfully, Charles Tex Watson found mercy with God. Now, this doesn't happen for everybody, but it does happen to some. And I think this proves the redemptive mercy of God, that this man did come to repentance. This man went to all of this work to outline pages upon pages upon pages of the sin that cropped up in his life. He confesses these sins to God. He receives forgiveness. He lives a life of repentance and demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit, even as he lives in a maximum security prison out in the state of California. Well, my friends, these are the stories that are important. What we find is that God's system of justice is essential. And we embrace this, and we say we love the laws of God, but we also love the grace of God. We love the gospel, and we love the work that God has done in bringing about salvation to the worst of sinners, the greatest of sinners. We see this with hypocrites like the Apostle Paul. We see it with foul murderers and adulterers and homosexuals as well. We see this, my friends, that again and again throughout history, God brings his mercy to the foul list of sinners, and this is of great comfort to all of us, I'm sure. Well, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations program, let me encourage you to the gospel of Christ. Let me encourage you to embrace the Word of God, the whole Word of God. We teach the laws of God, and we embrace the grace of God. And now we keep the law of God as well. And we encourage others to keep the law of God. We're saved in order that we might no longer sin. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. We're no longer under the law, but under grace. And therefore, we are free from sin. We're free from the transgression of the law because of the power of grace in our lives that washes us free, washes us clean of sin, and sets us free from the bonds of sin as well. This, my friends, is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to set the captives free. He came to save us from our sins, and these being examples of that. Now, as we study history and as we study the news, as we hear the news, let's remember that there is the message of grace. There's a message of redemption that shines through. And this is largely ignored by Fox News and CNN.com. Why? Because, well, they don't understand the import of God's law. They don't understand the seriousness of sin. They don't understand the import of God's law as it affects them as well as Charles Manson, and they certainly don't understand the beauty of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've missed it all, and we want to be sure that this perspective is brought into full center view for our listening audience on this radio program. Folks, I hope this approach to the news is helpful to you. That's why the Worldview in 5 minutes, something that we produce on a daily basis on this program, you'll find it at theworldview.com or as part of this radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Monday, November 27th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In one of the deadliest attacks in Egypt's recent memory, at least 305 people have been killed, including 24 children, at a mosque on Friday, reports Christian Today. The murderers brandished an Islamic State flag. The first bomb ripped through the mosque during Friday prayers, the high point of the Islamic weekly worship pattern. Then attackers approached in 4 off-road vehicles, opening fire on the worshippers, according to Reuters. Egyptian forces are battling a stubborn Islamic State affiliate in the region, one of the surviving branches of the militant Muslim group, after it suffered defeats by U.S.-backed forces in Iraq and Syria. More than 50 ambulances rushed people to hospitals as the injured total was placed at more than 125. Last Friday, Poland's lawmakers approved a law that will phase out Sunday shopping by the year 2020, despite criticism that it may eliminate thousands of jobs, reports the Miami Herald. Last Thursday, the Church of Sweden encouraged its clergy to use the gender-neutral term God instead of referring to the deity as he or the Lord, reports the UK Telegraph. Priests can now open their services by referring to the traditional Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or the gender-neutral phrase, in the name of God and the Holy Trinity. Isaiah 9:6 declares, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Democrat Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi appeared yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press with Chuck Todd to discuss whether Democrat Congressman John Conyers should step down as ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee following sexual allegations against him.
What is a fireable offense? You say it's zero tolerance, yes. But what does that mean if you're saying John Conyers, who already had due process, gets to stay right now?
Well, as I said, we've asked for the Ethics Committee to review that, and I believe we'll do the right thing.
One member is already, Gregory Meeks, has already called for him to be withdrawn as ranking member. Isn't that in your power? Can't you decide that he should be suspended as ranking member on judiciary of all committees for him to be ranking on?
This will happen during the Thanksgiving break. When we come together at the beginning of this week, I think John will do that.
You're not going to unilaterally make this decision?
I'm not sharing that with you right now.
Following that interview, Congressman Conyers stepped down yesterday afternoon as the ranking Democratic member of the House Judiciary Committee. Last Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Lee Yackel in Austin struck down parts of a Texas law that would ban the most common type of second trimester abortion in the state after plaintiffs argued that abortion was safe, legal, and necessary for women's health, reports the Christian Post. Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said that his office had appealed the decision, adding that Senate Bill 8 was lawful and protected, quote, unborn human life from ghastly dismemberment abortions, end quote, which kills unborn babies by tearing them limb from limb while they are still alive, causing the unborn victims to bleed to death. Since April 2016, Target has had a policy of allowing men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms. That's why conservative groups critical of Target's policy are stepping up their boycott this coming Christmas, urging conservative shoppers not to support what they call a, quote, radical social agenda, end quote, reports the Christian Post. Lance Ray of the watchdog group Second Vote said that last year its hashtag Anywhere But Target campaign helped to see a 3% drop in sales over the Christmas season for Target, along with a 43% decrease in profits. Plus, Target stock is down 30%. Incredibly, despite the boycott of Second Vote and the 1.5 million Christians who have signed the Boycott Target petition by the American Family Association, Target has dug in their heels and refused to see the light. Watch the 30-second video that we have posted in our transcript today at theworldview.com and share it on your social media platforms. Gabrielle Douglas, the 21-year-old Olympic gold medal-winning gymnast, revealed last Tuesday that she was sexually assaulted by Dr. Larry Nassar, a Team USA gymnastics physician, and was conditioned to stay silent, reports the Christian Post. While Nassar has pled guilty to 7 counts of first-degree criminal sexual assault in Michigan's Ingham County Circuit Court, Douglas was not one of the initial women who came forward with the claims. A proposed policy would require Delaware government schools to actually allow kids to select their own name, gender, and race without parental consent, reports World Magazine. Liberal activists call the regulation an anti-discrimination policy that protects children, but pro-family groups say it undermines families and pushes a false narrative about gender and race. Delaware residents only have until Monday, December 4th, to express their outrage to the Education Department. Former President George H.W. Bush became the longest living president in U.S. history at 93 years and 166 days old on Saturday, reports the Washington Examiner. 1 in 5 women are childless at 45, and they're having fewer offspring than ever, reports the Daily Mail. Psalm 127, 3-4 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Are children born in one's youth." Today is Cyber Monday. Americans are expected to spend $6.6 billion online, which would be the largest online shopping day in U.S. history. That compares to the $5 billion we spent on Black Friday, according to Adobe Analytics. And finally, Christians love Chick-fil-A. Maybe it's their great chicken or their polite staff. Perhaps it's Chick-fil-A's financial support of Christian concerts and biblically-based marriage seminars. Or maybe it's their bold stand to close their 2,200 locations on Sunday to honor the Lord's Day and allow their employees to attend worship. According to Morning Consult's 2017 Community Impact Ratings, 62% of evangelicals consider Chick-fil-A to have a positive impact on their community, compared to 48% of Americans on average. To be sure, Chick-fil-A honors the fourth commandment found in Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." The Lord has blessed Chick-fil-A as a result. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, November 27th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.